We'll turn in the Word of God to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I'll begin reading at verse 46 and read to verse 52. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. Hear God's Word. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May God bless that to our hearts and minds. Last week we talked about the Lord Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. And you remember that as he was walking on the road to Jerusalem, in his mind, he was preparing. He was preparing for the suffering and the death that is to come. Remember, in his meditations, he's thinking about all that would occur to him. And there, in the midst of Jesus on the road to Jerusalem and mentally preparing for the sufferings and death that is to come, the disciples began to ask Jesus, or two of the disciples began to ask Jesus to be exalted. Now today, we see that Jesus continues on the road to Jerusalem. And as he's on that road, working his way to that ancient and holy city, he goes through a small town with a well-known Old Testament name. Jesus and the disciples are here in Jericho. Now we know that has to be a different Jericho than the Jericho of the Old Testament, because Jericho was destroyed. But this is a Jericho that lies right outside of the city of Jerusalem, about 18 miles from Jerusalem. And as they're walking and working their way towards Jerusalem with the sufferings of Christ in mind, as we've talked about, Mark pauses the gospel. And as Mark pauses the gospel, we see that there is an interaction between Jesus and a man who is named Bartimaeus. Now you can look at how the gospel, if we took out the story of Bartimaeus, how it would flow. It's almost like there's a parenthesis here. Bartimaeus connecting this discussion on the road to Jerusalem with the sufferings of Christ in mind, and the entrance to the city gates of Jerusalem, in chapter 11. So as the gospel writer pauses, and as we now think on Bartimaeus, we ask ourselves, why is this here? Of the hundreds of times where Jesus would have healed, or Jesus would have stopped to preach, or stopped to teach a certain thing, or stopped to show mercy, why is this man named blind Bartimaeus, why is this of special interest to the hearers? Special interest to that original audience, as well as special interest to you and me as Christians. And what I believe Mark is doing here is he's pointing you and pointing me to the grace of the Gospels, the grace of the purpose for which Jesus Christ came to die. We'll see that this evening. I want you to look first off at the cry of the blind man. The cry of the blind man. Verses 46 through 48 say, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now we've seen several times within the Gospels that Jesus has healed those that are blind, or Jesus has healed those that are sick, or Jesus has healed those that are lame. But this is different. Today is different because this cry of the blind man, this cry of blind Bartimaeus, comes right as Jesus is about to enter the city of Jerusalem. Now, that's a bit of a spoiler in the Gospels. What Mark has next for us, which is the true Gospel narrative, is the psalm that we sang, "Ye gates, lift up your heads on high. Ye doors that last for aye, be lifted up so the King of glory may enter in." It's Jesus entering in to Jerusalem and the gates of the holy city being opened to welcome in the King of glory and the sufferings that he would suffer. Now, as Jesus is about to enter the gates of Jerusalem as this King of glory, it's as if we are able to stand back and say, one more time. Let's look at this again. Let's look at one more blind man. Now he's leaving Jericho. A throng of those that would be going to worship at the temple would be going along with him. Remember that Passover is coming. Passover is when Jesus will die. And as Passover is coming, it's a requirement that Jewish men, the observant men of the nation, make their way to Jerusalem to worship. So he's going with a throng of worshipers, making their way to that ancient city, that the city may swell with worshipers as Jesus Christ in the providence of God comes. And here on the road is this man that we meet, appropriately monikered blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Now, clearly he's blind. He's called blind Bartimaeus. Mark, written to Gentiles, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. So blind son of Timaeus. And then, so in the giving his Hebrew name and then telling us that means that he is son of Timaeus. Most likely known in the early church as well. Remember, Mark in the gospel is immediately, hurry along, let's go, hurry, immediately. And here he's like, he's blind, his name's Bartimaeus, he's son of Timaeus. Taking time for those who would read the gospel or those that would hear the gospels read or preached in the early church, they would say, we've heard of him, we know him, he lives at such and such. So much of Mark's gospel is moving us along, and here we have blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road, and what he hears is that Jesus of Nazareth is walking by. Jesus of Nazareth is among those that are making their way from Jericho to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus cries out and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knows of the power of Jesus to save. He knows something of Jesus Christ being the Son of David, the one who is the promised Messiah, the one who will come to reign over Israel and redeem captive Israel from their sins. And Bartimaeus, hearing these stories over the last couple of years as the fame of Jesus made its way through that ancient land, he is there in contact with him, knowing that his reputation is that he heals the lame, and he raises the dead, and he makes those unable to walk, walk, and he gives sight to the blind. And he says, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Son of David, have mercy on me. I want you to notice that Jesus is called Son of Nazareth, and he's called the Son of David. There's really, those things are juxtaposed in the sense that Nazareth representing that where nothing good can come from in the Gospels. Nazareth being where Christ is from, and yet it'd be a place known as backwaters or backwoods, a nothing little town. And Bartimaeus cries out. He doesn't just say, Jesus of Nazareth, help me. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew of the power of Jesus to save. He knew of the promised Messiah and the mercy promised from him. The Lord Jesus responds. And part of what we need to see in his response is what is not said. Because here, what is not said is as important as what is said. We need to look at this backdrop of the blind man calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what I want you to notice is what is not said. You know how in art or in design that people that know about these things will tell you that you have to look at both the positive space and the negative space in order to appreciate something. You'll have a painting and there will be paint all along this area, and then maybe there's solid black over here or a solid color, and it serves as a negative space, and you're intended to look at both of those things to properly understand what's going on in the composition. You see, negative space draws attention, or its intention is to draw attention to the central theme or the subject of the piece. So what is our negative space here? Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the negative space in the composition is that we think on how Jesus has responded in all the previous attempts for him to be called Messiah or King or Son of David. Remember, Jesus has said, "Tell no one. Now is not the time. Do not share this information. Keep this to yourself." But now, as Bartimaeus cries out and says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," we look at that and we look at the negative space and we listen for Jesus to remind him that now is not the time, and he's to keep that quiet, and Jesus is to have him tell no one. But he does not say that, because Jerusalem is on the horizon and Jesus Christ is going forward to suffer and die. The Son of David will take the cross so that he may receive the crown. The cry of the blind man here reminds us that the time of Jesus Christ has come. The city of David is about to receive its heir. In this cry that we've seen this evening, we see in verses 49 through 50 that cry is answered with a call. Secondly, we see the call of the blind man. The call of the blind man. 49 says, "So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus." So Jesus stops, and instead of admonishing this man to be quiet as he's done elsewhere, he calls this man to himself. It says he commanded him to be called. He was called that he might ask him his need and ask of his desires in calling out to the Lord. Now, of course, we know what he's going to ask. He's called blind Bartimaeus for a reason. And as he calls on Jesus, and as the crowds are telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, Jesus calls him forward to come. And the crowd says, "Be of good cheer, he's calling you." Meaning, go, he's going to give you what you want. And friends, I want you to see what a wonderful thing that is. I want you to hear that call. Be of good cheer, for he is calling you. Friends, what are your great needs? What are the needs that hold you back? What are those spiritual things that hold you down? What are the struggles and trials of this life that you know that you can bring to Jesus, but maybe you struggle with bringing those things to him? Here, Jesus Christ calls you as well. Be of good cheer, for he is calling you. Friends, Christ here calls, and we see the gospel so gloriously unfolded here in the text. We see the gospel of Jesus and the purpose of the ministry of Christ here unfolded. Remember when Isaiah was predicting the coming of the Messiah? He said, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, 'Be strong, do not fear. Behold, Your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lamb shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness as streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lie, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. This blind man here represents the fullness of the gospel promise coming forward, and this age of the kingdom that's about to burst forth on the scenes of human history. He is calling out to Jesus, and Jesus responds to him as a microcosm of what God is about to do in the world through Jesus Christ. The people will call on the Lord, and the Lord will answer them. One pastor said, if others do not know the misery of blindness, he did. If others did not think it worthwhile to take such trouble in order to obtain relief, he knew better. He cared not for the rebukes of bystanders. He heeded not the ridicule on him. He cried a more great deal, and so crying obtained his heart's desire and received his sight. Let all who wish to be saved mark well the conduct of Bartimaeus and walk diligently in his steps. Like him, we must care nothing for what others think and say of us when we seek the healing of our souls. There never will be lacking people who will tell us that it's too soon or too late, that we're going too fast or too far, that we need not to pray so much or read our Bibles so much or to be anxious about salvation. We must not give heed to such people. Like Bartimaeus, we must cry out the more, Jesus, have mercy on me. In congregation, Jesus answers those cries, doesn't he? Friends, he is calling you in the gospel as well. Even now, being called to faith, being called to repentance, being called to believe and to trust. And you must examine your souls. You must ask yourself, do I cry out like Bartimaeus does? Do I see the urgency to have scales come from my eyes the way that Bartimaeus sees the urgency? Jesus is there in a throng of humans working his way to Jerusalem. And Bartimaeus says, I must be heard. I must obtain the favor of the Lord. Congregation, is there urgency in your spiritual life to be heard of Jesus? From week to week, you hear Jesus Christ calling you in his word. You hear the call for repentance and the call for faith. You hear the call to believe the gospel and to be forgiven. You hear the call to reach out by faith and to cling to Jesus. You hear the call to turn from sin. Here Jesus calls. And Bartimaeus heard. And the gospel says that he rose up and he threw off his garment and he came to Jesus. He threw off that which was covering him and went to Christ. One pastor said, what is the reason that men are so half-hearted in seeking Jesus? Why are they so soon deterred and discouraged from drawing near to God? And the answer is short and simple. And listen to the answer he gives. They do not feel sufficiently their own sins. They are not thoroughly convinced of the plague of their own heart and of the disease of their own soul. Bartimaeus understood that his blindness was terminal. He understood that all he is able to do in order to provide for himself is to sit by the side of the road begging. Really, the lowest of existence for humanity. We are designed to work, and I don't care if that work is selling roses at a red light or if you have the best job in the world. I don't care. We are designed to work. And those that have been reduced because of illness or providences to beg have been reduced to the lowest place of those that are the image bearers of God. And Jesus walks by and he knows, Bartimaeus knows the urgency of being heard, the urgency of getting a hold of Jesus Christ. And we know that the language of blindness, and look at Isaiah and the way Isaiah uses blindness, and we can do the biblical theology of blindness and how it represents our sin and the removing of scales and the blind giving sight, how that all points ahead to Jesus Christ. We can do the whole theology of the whole thing, and we see Bartimaeus here representing your need to reach out, to call out to Christ, and how many from week to week let him go by. Let him go by without calling. A lack of knowledge of the condition of your own heart. Friends, know your need to call on Christ, and know that the gospel call goes forth from week to week. Hear and heed that call. You are called to respond. And then in verses 51 through 52, we see Christ even more clearly. 51, Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So thirdly, the Christ of the blind man. The Christ of the blind man. Jesus begins by asking him what he wanted and what Jesus could do for him. And Bartimaeus says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Now, interestingly to me, as he calls him Rabboni, his soul already sees. He already knows in his heart of hearts who the Lord Jesus is. There's already something of trust. He's the Son of David, and he's Rabboni. Rabboni is like taking rabbi and personalizing it. My master, my teacher, my Lord. And he claims that for himself. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. We see blind Bartimaeus bring his weakness, his blindness before the Lord. He knows the thing that he needs, and he brings that before the Lord. And he says, my Lord and my master, my teacher. He confesses Christ. and asks for sight. You see, he begs for this favor that he would have sight, in part that he would no longer have to beg and be this lowest form of those that have to beg in order to receive their bread rather than laboring with their hands. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Jesus heals him in response to his faith. Again, friends, we must believe. Faith is that starting point. As the Spirit of God opens our heart and we believe, faith has hands. Hands that reach out and hold on. And you might say, well, Pastor Nathan, what does faith have faith in? It's Christ. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. Faith in faith is not what we're looking at. It's not just Bartimaeus isn't just religious or spiritual. He's looking to Christ by faith. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. And what does he do next? He gets up and he follows Jesus, doesn't he? He follows him on the road. He's going to Jerusalem with him. He's no longer going to sit there and beg, but he's going to go to Jerusalem as a follower of Christ. Now, we know that the Old Testament law required those that were healed of diseases to go to Jerusalem to sacrifice. Does he know that? Does he know the Word of God enough to know that he must go and present an offering before the priest and be declared healed and go through that whole Old Testament ritual that was required? I don't know, but I know that he follows Christ. And here Jesus doesn't say, as he said so many times to those that have been healed, he doesn't say, no, you stay here. No, you stay back. You continue on with your own community. He allows him to join this throng of those that will go to Jerusalem to be the worshipers in that ancient city. His faith has made him well. And that began his discipleship. He follows Christ. Now, friends, if we were to step back and look at this, and you know, we can look at where it's placed in the gospel, and it's true, it's a true account of what's occurred, and we see Jesus considering his sufferings as he's going to Jerusalem, and then chapter 11. The gates of Jerusalem welcome in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the midst of these two bookends stands this excellent example of what the gospel of Christ is going to do. What Jesus Christ came to secure. This is the gospel according to blind Bartimaeus, a man who received his sight, and a man who followed Christ. Here in the middle of the disciples' desire to be exalted, and Jesus going through those city gates, Bartimaeus has an encounter with Jesus Christ. He cries out, and Jesus calls him forth. And Jesus says, open your eyes that you may see. And it began a life of discipleship. Friends, see this Christ and believe. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you that even someday in glory, we will meet blind Bartimaeus. who will have sight. Lord, we thank you for these truths, and we pray that in our week ahead, we would meditate on them and ask where we stand with this Jesus Christ who calls. Amen.